Thank you guys for being in class tonight. If you hadn't got a chance yet, go back and listen to last week's lesson. I listened to myself. You say, why do you listen to yourself? Because I want to learn from my mistakes. And so we were walking out of the gym Tuesday, and we always listen to preaching or teaching while we work out. And Robert was listening. You were listening to somebody. Brother Keith Moore, and he took his ears out, and he said, who are you listening to? I said, I'm listening to a great message. He said, is it Brother Moore or Brother, I'd like to listen to Brother T.D. Jakes. I said, no, it's me. I said, I'm listening to myself, and I amen myself. I was panting on that. No, I was panting on the weight machine, and I was trying to say amen to myself, but I just couldn't get it out, but myself realized it anyway. But tonight, you know, last week we talked about shifting seasons and how that all of us are in different, will have different stages or seasons in our life, and we might as well not fight it. We might as well just embrace it. Because a week ago today, I turned 60, and so my brain began to, because now you have to say, somehow 60 sounds different than 59. It just does. So I've been prepping myself for that, and I have to tell you, it ain't bothering me a bit. But that was last week. So I was going to continue on with somewhat of that vein, and then the Holy Spirit changed my direction. So in continuing with the word that the Lord gave me the first of the year, that this is the year of fruition, and that seeds that we have planted are about ready to be harvested and get ready for that. So today, as I was preparing a totally different lesson, the Holy Spirit said, I could never get it to flow. I could never get it a flow going. So I just stopped. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what's the deal? What are we supposed to do? And then within a couple of hours, I had this. So we were talking about sowing seeds. So I put handouts on your table. And if you would look at those, we're actually going to go through these things. And hopefully when this time is over, you will also know that be able to recognize when you have seed. Now, Rita is giving me 42 minutes, and Robert has me 18 minutes. So together, that's 60 minutes. So, hey, there's no crunch of time for me. So, okay, on your handout, and this will also be available online, the caption, the title reads, "What seeds have I sown today?" Because we all know, or we should know, that without sowing seeds, there will be no harvest. And I hear a noise. No, it's not yours, Mark. So, you know, Mark has to stay in constant touch with President Trump. Because when President Trump runs into an issue, he calls Mark. So Mark's on call all the time. So what seeds have I sown today? I ask myself, in fact, I have it written somewhere right beside my prayer chair. Oh, in my journal, I kind of roll it over. What did I do for the kingdom today? What did I do for the kingdom today? What seeds have I sown? So what does a seed look like? How many of you know when you plant a tomato seed, it doesn't look like a tomato when you put it in the ground? Am I right? You got a farmer, you ever planted a garden? Well, what you put in the ground does not, only way you know what it is because the picture on the outside is what you know that's in. And you just have to have faith. Because they could put a tomato on the outside of that package, and that might be a pumpkin, you know. And who knows, you can't make, I've never heard of a pumpkin sandwich. So it would be very disappointing. But in God's environment, in God's farming, the way God farms is that what you sow according to Galatians 6 and 7, which is really one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Galatians 6 and 7 says, anyone know?
Be not deceived.
God is not mocked, which means God will not be made a fool of. Whatsoever, finish it for me, a man sows, that shall he also reap. Isn't that great news? Isn't that, Bill, that just stirs something up in me, because I know in God's, with the principle, the law of seed, time, and harvest, which is one of the greatest, which is the greatest law. Because when Jesus was teaching one of the parables, he said, if you don't get this, everything else I'm teaching is not going to make any sense to you. So it's seed, time, and harvest. So God allows, lets us know through his words, Galatians 6 and 7, that whatever we sow, that we're going to also reap. Let's turn to that, Galatians 6, but I want to go to verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And if you get it before me, you just let me know. See, Darlene, this is what happens when I don't go by notes. Darlene says I should throw my notes away. So, but when I do, I have them all right there. It's Galatians, it's okay, Ephesians, G, comes right before Galatians comes. Here we go.
Let us not be weary with well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Okay, that's good. Don't get tired of doing what we're going to talk about tonight. If you don't grow weary, oh, there's another scripture. Is it in Isaiah that say, you shall run and not be weary? You shall walk and not faint. You shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's so great. So God knew that we would get, and weary doesn't always have to deal with bodily exhaustion. You ever heard the phrase, I'm just weary with it all? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm over it. That's kind of what we say. I'm over it. The Bible is telling us here, Paul in his letter to the Galatians says, don't get tired. Don't become exhausted with the cares of this life. Don't be weary in well-doing, in seed planting, in seed sowing. Don't be weary. Because let me tell you, folks, for in the right season, that's what that due season means, in the right season, you shall what? You're going to reap. Has the Bible ever lied about anything? Is this going to be that first lie that God ever tells? It's not going to be. Mel, the Bible says you sow it, you're going to reap it. Good Lord, have mercy. It makes me want to empty every seed container I've got. Because God says you sow it, Paula, and you'll reap it. And then I love verse 10 as well, because it says, as we have, this sets us up for our lesson tonight. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to just our family. No. Let's just do good to those who can reciprocate back to you. No, what does it say? To all men and women. But especially, what does it say? Especially to those who are the household of faith. Jesus has a soft spot for those who are in the family. Okay, so now I also want to go to Matthew 10 and 42. If somebody can get that for me. And we'll be going to Mark 9 and 41. A lot of scriptures tonight because I am loving this word. And the Bible says that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So I'm going to give you at least five or six scriptures that's going to drive home and be a witness, a credible witness to my lesson tonight. Who has Matthew 10:42? Okay, Okay, go ahead, Rita.
And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
Okay, here we is. Jesus is telling, if you'll just give a cup of cold water to a little one, you're not going to lose your reward. How about Mark 9 and 41?
For I tell you truly, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to and bear the name of Christ will by no means fail to get his reward.
Okay, so here we have again. Jesus said, you give a cup of cold water or just a cup of water in the name of a disciple, you're going to get reward. See, Jesus says, and I don't have the scripture reference, that he will never fail to remember your work and labor of love that you do for the kingdom. Jesus never forgets. God never forgets. Okay, the last scripture for right now is going to be Luke 6 and 38, and I'll get that. That is my core scripture for tonight. And then we're going to go through this list. Luke 6 and 38 says, now this is used a lot of times for offerings, but we're not going to use it that way tonight. You'll see here. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Most of the time, Marcus, most of the time, preachers stop right there. In fact, I always stop right there. But when you take the time to have a rhema word and not just a logos word from the Bible and give the Holy Spirit time to stir it up in you and stir up other scriptures, because that's what the Holy Spirit will do. It will bring things to your remembrance that perhaps you studied 5 years ago or 5 minutes ago or last year. It brings it all together. The last portion of that wonderful verse says, for with the same measure that ye meet, that means to measure, with the same measure that you measure withal, it shall be measured back to you again. What you sow, you will reap. So what do your seeds look like? What seeds have you sown for the kingdom today? What seeds? You'll say, well, I don't know. I haven't been out in the garden today. Well, you're always in God's garden. And you always need to have some seeds in your pocket or up your sleeve or in your glove box or in your pantry or in your closet. You always should have some seeds. What does a seed look like? And then at the last, I'm going to ask you for some of your own suggestions. I have seeds that look like, because they are, a box of inspirational cards. In fact, under my prayer chair, I have 3 boxes of inspirational cards. I have praying for you, thinking of you, and thank yous. Under my chair. So at any given time when I'm in the Word and I'm in prayer and the Holy Spirit brings some of you or somebody else to my mind, and used to I would say, well, you know what, I'll send them a card, but I'll do it later. I have learned, Charlene, that later never comes. So I have a box of cards that I use as a packet of seeds to sow. Then I also, my seed can look like a book of stamps because you know, and now they're 55 cents. Oh my word, have you ever, you know you're old when you start complaining about stamps going up, whatever they went up. I don't even know, 4 cents. You know, and how many, my mom, bless her heart, she'll say, you, and Miss Barb, she'll say, well, you know what, stamps went up today. And I said, well, Mom, it's only 4 cents. How many letters do you think you, how many pieces of mail do you think you mail in a, well, Mom, she doesn't do anything online, so she does a lot of mailing. But a book of stamps, you know, make the 55 cents investment. Believe me, you'll get more than 55 cents back. So have you a book of stamps on hand? How about a batch of cookies? Sometimes seeds will look like a batch of cookies. How about a bouquet of flowers? How about an unexpected and undeserved gift? That is a seed to someone. How about an invitation to go for lunch? Or how about an invitation just to go get a cup of coffee? Let's catch up. Let's sit across the table. Tell me what's going on in your life. Do you know we're all blessed for the most part with great families and friends, and we have communication that gives us value. Do you know there are millions of people living by themselves that never have another face to look at across the table? A few weeks ago, we were at Cracker Barrel having early lunch, and we were appalled at the number of elderly people in there eating by themselves. Just all by themselves. How about sowing a seed to an invitation to take someone for coffee or a piece of pie or shopping, you know, just to get out with somebody? That's a seed. Because you don't know if that person is saying, God, I just need to be surrounded by someone today just to talk to. Do you know a lot of elderly people and single people, the only communication they have is the TV? How about if your life was suddenly like that? What would you feel like if your phone rang and says, hi, this is Rita. I was wondering if you'd like to go get a cup of coffee today. Or, hey, I think I might go thrifting today. You want to go? It's a seed. You don't have to be, it doesn't have to be world changing, but it could be someone's world changing invitation. How about a compliment? You know, on Thursday morning, we usually have some music and we have some lively music, and then because most of those folks are quite older, and so we have a time of fellowship. We have a time of embracing each other and telling each other they love them and different things. You know why, Gary, I mainly do that? Because some of these folks will go a very long time and nobody ever touched them. Must less embrace them and look them in the eye and say, you're special to me. Do that for someone. Or a compliment. How many people go weeks or months and nobody ever pays them or gives them a compliment? I tell you, a good seed to sow is a $10 bill. Keep a few extra in your pocket. I tell you, even better seed to sow, that's a $100 bill. Keep a few of them in your pocket, because you don't know when the Holy Spirit is, and I'm preaching to myself right now, because I'm a cashless society. I don't carry cash. And so, but the Holy Spirit, when I'm doing this, said, get you some folding money and put it in your wallet.
Hallelujah.
Because you never know when God's going to say, take care of this for this person, or at the... or wherever I am, take care of this. Well, you can hand them your credit card or your debit card. But if you had just a $5 bill, I got to where I was almost hesitant to give Robert a bankroll of cash, because the man would not come home with any of it, because he said, you know what, I saw a little boy and he was asking his mama for this and this, and she said, no honey, not today, and he would peel it off and give him the kid $5 to buy. And so, but he's got it all coming back and returning. So that could be a seed. A sincere I'm sorry. How many of you have withheld I'm sorry longer than you should have? I'm not looking. You know what? I was canceling someone quite a while back, and this person called me all upset that, you know what, the person and the spouse had had a a disagreement, and things were said, and one thought they were right, and of course the other thought they were right, and they was having a cold war. You know what a cold war is? It's the silent treatment. Silent treatment. And I finally said to the person, I said, and this person was very upset. I said, okay, time out, dried up. I said, well, do you want me to find you a good lawyer? And the person said, for what? I said, well, you can divorce this person. I said, well, I don't want to divorce him or her. I said, well, so what's the option? And the person said, well, I guess forgive and make up. I said, okay, this conversation's over. So, and you know what starts that? You just simply say, if you have to grit your teeth, you say, I'm sorry. And then leave it at that. Leave it at that. Just say, I'm sorry. And I tell you, it's a habit that gets easier and easier. Because when you think, okay, when you think all of us are, we're not old, but we are not as young as we used to be. So am I going to waste a day? Because let's see, if I'm going to live at least, well, I'm going to live 60 more years. I don't know how many days that is. But whatever it is, I'm not going to waste. I'm at that time in my life. Charlene, I'm not wasting a day playing the Cold War game. And we got plenty of room to play the Cold War. Honestly, we could go several weeks and never see each other in our house. I mean, we got 8 doors that come in and out of our house. So we could just get a schedule. You leave this door, I'll leave this door. We don't even have to see each other. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to simply say, I think what Robert and I were discussing something yesterday or today, or maybe yesterday and today, and something was said, and then something was said, and then something was said, and then we misunderstood, and so he went and got in his chair, and I was, and get this, I'm baking cookies for the homeless. And here we are having this discussion, and so I went back to put the cookies on the plate, and I thought, this is ridiculous. Here I am ministering for the homeless, and I can't even live in peace in my own house. So I just kept my apron on, I put down the cookie stuff, and I went over to the chair. I said, I am so sorry for my attitude and for and I didn't even say anything uncalled for, just was my attitude. I said, I just want you to know I'm sorry. You were right. You were right. And so we just went on with it. So instead of, thank God for the wisdom switch that switched on when I turned 60. So instead of wasting a whole day with the person that I love more than anybody on earth, I just simply planted a seed of humility. And then immediately he said, you know what, it really doesn't matter. It just really, and it was great. And so we had, it was a seed of which I have reaped. I got a beautiful car today. And there was no money in it, but there, I got a beautiful car today. So this is what, I'm planting a seed. Okay. Okay, or a thank you. Or how about a visit to the hospital? That's a great seed. Or meeting an elderly person's need. Sharing the burden of a single parent. An extra bag of groceries for a neighbor. These are all seeds. Smiling. I wish Kent was here, because Kent must have an issue with traffic, because every time I talk about traffic, Kent hides his face. Smiling when you get cut off in traffic. Try it, Melvin. It's a seed. It's a seed. It's seeds that we are sowing into each other. How about this? Easing the stress of a new waitress or waiter. You know, or how about a new person in the checkout? Yeah. Or how about somebody that is like poor Miss Barb? She'll say it'll be $63.85. She says, I think I have the 85 cents. And she sits there, and especially at Bed Bath & Beyond when there's 50 people in line. And she sits there. She says, well, I know that change purse is in here, and you can just see it on the cashier's face, you know, and I'm behind her. So, and plus, or if Miss Barb writes a check, honest to goodness, it takes her 5 minutes at least to write a check because her penmanship, and if she messes up, oh, that looks awful. Then she starts over. So, but everyone, but being kind, being patient is a seed. Because how many of you know most people are not patient? Everybody except us in this room. Melvin, this is your night, brother. You know what? Calling a Christian brother or sister and saying and meaning this, I'm praying for you. Assuring that same brother or sister that you are available to help in their time of need, and be specific. How many of you know that it is absolutely pointless to say, well, any way I can help you, let me know? Nobody's going to let you know. So what you do is you get down on your bony knees and you say, God, how can I help? What do you want me to do? Or just pinpoint them and say, okay, have you got your light bill paid? Well, no, because nobody's going to say, I don't have my light bill paid. You say, do you have your light bill paid? No. Well, let me tell you, will $100, will $200 help? What you're doing, guys, is you are this hopper full of seed. And the enemy will tell you that the only way to sow seeds is putting money in an offering plate. And as much as that is needed, let me tell you, that's the easiest seed you will ever sow. And I'm not taking lightly the sacrifices people, most of the time people are not making sacrifices when they give anyway. But, and please understand what I'm saying, but that's the easiest seed you can sow. When you actually take the time to search out and dig out a need and then sow a seed, that's when the kingdom can begin to explode in your life. How about telling your pastor that you appreciate him or her and showing him as much? When's the last time you walked up to your pastor, looked them straight in the eye, and says, I appreciate you? I appreciate you. Because a good pastor calls your name out in prayer. A good pastor watches over your soul. A good pastor spends an enormous amount of time searching out exactly what his sheep needs. So you can sow a seed back into your pastor. How about volunteering to do whatever you can to keep the kingdom progressing with excellence? Now, what does that look like? That could look like cutting up limbs and hauling them away. That could look like clearing out storage rooms. That could look like snow blowing. Whatever it is in your environment, that's what you do. How about being willing to be inconvenienced to help others? I'm not good at that one. If you fit in my schedule, that's great. But if you don't, you know, take a number. Keeping silent when you know something that would unkindly hurt someone else. When you know stuff, but you don't say it. That is sowing a seed. You say, well, how can that be sowing a seed? Because it keeps strife out of the kingdom. Speaking out against evil when it is appropriate. Now, there are times, Esther, that we keep our mouth shut, but then there are times, Melvin, that we have to step up and say something. And wisdom lets you know what those times are. How about this? Not joining in with strife, scorn, or malice against anyone except the devil. Those are all seeds. Those are not something you're putting in a hat or putting in a basket. But when you sow seeds of peace in the kingdom, do you know what happens? It grows a crop of peace. We have seen and we see what seeds of malice have done. absolute lies. And people listen. It's not just the people telling it, it's the people listening and repeating. And it has a domino effect that will take some people out of the will of God. So you sow a seed. You be the seed sowers that have seeds of peace. How about the fruits of the Spirit? How do you think the fruits of the Spirit grow? Somebody, somewhere, planted fruit, seeds of peace, joy, faith, love, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Because you can't have a fruit unless someone has planted a seed. I'm going to be a seed sower. I'm going to be a seed planter, Rita girl, that when the crops start coming back to me, when I start reaping what I've sown, then I don't have to get up with a fearful, agitated, and nervous heart every morning, Claude, because I know what I reap today. What I sowed yesterday or the day before, I'll reap today. And if I always sow good seeds, I will always have a good harvest. If I sow seeds of integrity, then integrity will come back to me. Rob's been working on he was down and working on my mom's house, which I am delighted to have the testimony that before there was ever a sign put up in the yard, we had an offer of $14,000 more than we thought we would get. Then you know me, I counteroffered and got $6,000 more than that, and never a sign put up. And it's a Christian young man that's buying it, which my mom, that was her dream, that somebody with that, a Christian, would buy it. So, and already pre-approved. Everything just went. But Robert was down 2.5 weeks grubbing it out because, as it looked previously, we would have been fortunate to have got $100,000 for it. But because Robert is a man that loves to go into chaos and straighten it out, he went in there, and of course, there's always things you don't think you'll find, like wood rot and termite damage. That, you know, he called me. He said, "I'm just going to do this," and I said, "Do it with excellence." He did. Now it looks amazing. We were able to get a great offer. So sowing that seed, okay, and this is my point here. Because of the seed that Robert sowed into that, and then I took care of all the paperwork and the legal stuff, and we've sown seeds into my mom, to help my mom, because she don't know diddly about any of it. So now, Charlene, having done that, you say, "Well, it's your mom, that's what you have to do." No, it isn't. I mean, we could have hired somebody to have done it, and it would have cost her tens of thousands of dollars, and she would have not been able to have got this investment back. But because we were willing and more than willing to do what it is, now we can expect, am I right in this? Am I right? That we can expect those seeds to one day come up and come back to us in like manner. You said, "Well, you have a great house." Yeah, and I'm thankful for it. So do you want that to come back in the form of a house? Yes. Yes. And because we want one day, hopefully sooner than later, Rob and I would like, and don't leave us on this, we would like to have a condo on the lake.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Why do you want a condo on the lake? Because we love the water.
Yeah.
And we love to fish, and we love to do what we love to do.
Go to church.
Yeah, we already got it picked out. It's at Paradise Point in Hollister, Branson, unit 105. I know, I got it on my screensaver. I've been there. I looked at a video today of it. And you say, "Well, how are you going to do that?" I don't know, but we planting seeds.
Yeah.
We planting seeds. How did we ever get this? Because when we lived in an 8x25 Airstream trailer, we would have people come spend the weekend with us. And it was an 8-foot wide at the max. It's probably more like 6-foot wide. and 25 feet long. Now, honey, you better know somebody really good if they're going to come and stay with you any length of time. Then we had this mobile home that the first mobile home we ever bought was had been turned over in a hurricane. And when Robert drug it back to our little piece of property we had just bought, it didn't have any windows and the ceiling had fell in. But we never even plugged it in because we thought it would burn down if we plugged it in. So somebody bought it for a hunting camp. Then we bought us another mobile home that was probably already 20 years old, and we redid it. And then we would have the Christian school to come up and have their lunches that we would fix in this mobile home, this old mobile home. But it was clean, and it was repainted. It was clean. And then we let two nurses stay there almost rent free. Then we built us a little house, about 1,500 square feet, and built it ourselves over 2 years, and didn't divorce. But we would be preaching revival, and we would come in for 3 or 4 days and we'd work on the house, then we'd be gone for 3 months, then we'd come back and work on it then we would be in revival 90 to 100 miles away and make the trip every night and every night so we could work on the house. So we were there. Then we let a person that was hard up on their luck stay in it for probably 9 months, because we were never there. 9 months, and then another couple who was endeavoring to get started, we let them stay there for almost nothing or nothing. So do you see what I'm trying to tell you? We planted seeds with no idea the harvest we would reap.
Right.
No idea whatsoever. So when I say, and please, and I know you guys, please don't say, well, that Robert and Paula, they're not satisfied with what they got. They think they got to have another house. No way, Jose, but I know the Bible tells me, Mel, that I can have the desires of my heart. I can have the desires of my heart. And so when you sow seeds, we read it, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, because whatever seeds you sow will come back to you. So what do you want? So what do you want to see happen in your life? I want everything God has planned for me, and I don't want to be the one that stops it. I don't want to get to heaven, darling, and God say, well, I had this great place at Paradise Point for you, but you never believed me. You never believed me enough to sow seed. Or whatever it is that you want. I know Gary and Sharon, I haven't seen their new house yet, but I hear they got them a nice house. It was the desire of your heart. Did you need a new house? No, God isn't interested in just what we need. How many of you ever bought your children something, even if they didn't need it?
Yeah.
They just wanted it. I mean, you know how we are with ours, and you are the same. They can just, it just kind of, they've kind of learned now. I mean, it can just be in passing conversation, you know. And then, they don't drop hints. They just hand you. Our children just hand you the hints.
Send us the list.
But you know why? Because they know it's in our heart.
Yeah.
As much as it lies within us, we're going to give them the desires of their heart. The Bible says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children and how that makes you feel, that's exactly what the Heavenly Father wants to do for us. So get you some seed. Sow something. Every day, sow something. One of the first things you do but after you tell the Holy Spirit good morning and you settle in with that cup of coffee and your Bible, you simply say, what can I do for the kingdom today? Before I lay down tonight, what can I do? It could be something off this list. How about when you do lay down at night, where did I sow today? What did I sow? Have any of you had an example of something, a seed that you have sown, that that I didn't think of?
You know, a couple of years ago, it was Christmas Day, and so I think Jerry and Ryan and Charlie and I, we went out and ate at IHOP, I think it was, and this young lady, our waitress, she, I said, do they make you work as a waitress here? Yeah, we got to do whatever. So anyway, and so we just, you know, it the Lord, Holy Spirit plugged our hearts, whatever. So we ended up giving her a pretty sizable tip between us, whatever, you know. I think she come back and just, you know, crying, whatever, you know. But because she had to work, you know, on a Christmas Day, a holiday, whatever. But, you know, and it touched our hearts too, basically, to see that she was blessed.
That's sowing a seed. That is sowing a seed.
Sowing a vehicle to someone who needs it.
So, to Vicky. Okay, and this and those that are listening to this on the line, we're having class discussion, so I'm going to turn this off. But everybody listen to this. Make sure you sow a seed today.